quack, 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 quack,
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to D5 of the Mighty Ducks, the show where we look back at the 1994 Disney hockey sequel, D2 of the Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host, Blake, on the line. One of my favorite people in podcasting from Saturday Morning Rewind, Tim Nidell. Tim, how you doing?
Aw, I'm good, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Long time no talk. It's been a while.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding.
Well, we're both busy people. It happens. Yeah, they may be a bit busy.
It does. I mean, when you're married, it's hard to podcast and full time job and have kids and everything. You're busy.
Yeah, we're it happens. Both of us, it happens. So well, we have a chance to, here we are. We're back for D2, the Mighty Ducks. So before we get into the movie, we have our minutes. What's your history with this movie? I mean, I've always asked that people with this one.
This one, of course, I don't like it as much as the first one. The first one's iconic to me. It's an amazing movie. This one, I do appreciate. I loved it as a kid. I mean, I was 14 when it came out. I really liked it back then. And it's hard to believe that it came out in 94. That's crazy.
Trust me, every time I say it.
And I remember seeing it in the theater, and I really dove into the story because 94 was possibly the worst year of my life. Nothing major happened. I just moved across country to Florida from Reno. And I just had a miserable year because I had no friends. I didn't have anybody to hang out with, talk to, and I got picked on quite a bit in school, actually every day at school. And this movie, I remember sitting there and just kind of like escaping from that. That's what good movies should do to you.
Yeah, I agree.
Give you an escape. And this movie did that to me, so I appreciate it for what it is.
That's good. That's very good. I'm in the weird form of, this is my favorite of the trilogy, going into doing this, and it's so weird watching it again. It's so strange, especially breaking it down the way we're doing it. It's
exactly.
Such a weird
I have not seen it probably since the 90s. Yeah. So it was fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun ride back. And trust me, we have some fun stuff to talk about. But we start at the end of the first Iceland game, where Team USA got killed 12-1. Hey, but before we get into that, we see Conway getting crushed, like you do. Conway being Conway. They lose 12-1. Now, I made a comparison, and this is my comparison, this game. This is the game in the Miracle on Ice story where the Soviets came to Madison Square Garden and beat Team USA.
Yep.
That's what this is.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly. And I did a little digging into this because the scene that follows this with the whole whistling and the, you know, practice after they've had a big loss, that is directly taken from that 1980 Olympic team, Herb Brooks, because I mean, when I was watching it, I was like, man, Miracle, the movie Miracle really stole this scene, didn't they? But then I researched, and
it's the other way around.
Exactly. which I love Miracle. I don't know about you. I love Miracle.
Oh, trust me. I'm doing that movie after I get done with this trilogy. So it's on my list. Yeah. I've been telling everybody that. I love that movie. Probably one of my favorite sports movies of all time is Miracle. Like, I love that movie so much.
I do too. I remember watching that one 100%. I remember going into it not really knowing what to expect. You know, I like hockey. I just don't love hockey. But I love Kurt Russell. Yes. So that's why I went into it. And oh my God, it's such a good movie.
And what's great about that movie is I was like, I'm obsessed with like the Miracle on Ice. Like I have the documentaries and I've watched them all and I've read the books. And so going into it is like, I get to see this and it's great. But again, that's a story for another time.
I will never be covering that movie.
Yes.
But you're right. This movie, at least 3 minutes felt just like the Miracle on Ice, which I loved.
Yes, it's a great comparison. Well, before we get to that, we have Tibbles yelling at Bombay. And this is hysterical, because he's yelling at him. Okay, I just want to remember, if people don't remember, they explained this a lot earlier in the movie, that this tournament, for some reason, is double elimination. So, you have to lose twice to get knocked out. So, you could have a game like this and still continue on in the tournament. That's why the rules are there.
Yeah, that really makes no sense.
Well, I get it. If this is a round robin, I understand it. But this is an elimination tournament with double elimination rules. Like, it makes no sense. I've never watched a tournament like this before.
It's a Disney movie.
Yeah, exactly. They run fast and loose with the rules. Once in a blue moon.
Yep.
Well, I remember, I'm going to throw a wrestling reference out there. I remember watching a TNA wrestling pay-per-view way back when, and they had a match. It was called the Double Elimination Tables Match. You had to put your opponent through two tables. I'm like, why? Oh, man. Why are we doing this? Like, why are we doing this? It makes no sense.
Oh, boy.
So, but any TNA wrestling fan, they're laughing at that joke. So, anyway, moving on. Anyway. So he berates him over a loss in a double elimination tournament and yells at him saying, Hendricks is not interested in battling a loser. Okay, fine. They still won every other game. Like, what are we yelling at them for? Like, I don't get any of this. Hey. He talks like they're out of the tournament. They're really not. Like, at all.
Nope.
And Bombay just takes his speech. Bombay, in the last movie, would have, like, been fighting back, like, yelling back.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, you're so right. It's like he's just giving up, you know?
I don't understand why, though. Like, why are we giving up?
I know. Where did that character development come from?
Yeah. We were doing so well. We were doing so well up to this point. And he goes and says, and this is the line that gets to Bombay. He goes and says, or you're out of a job, and you're back in Pembalugville, Minnesota, not a real city, by the way, shoveling snow and sharpening stakes. Okay. Mm-hmm. That hit him, because that's a callback to earlier in the movie when he actually says, I don't want to be shoveling skates for the rest of my life. He actually says that line earlier in the movie.
Right.
That's actually brilliant writing. I give credit where it's due.
Yep.
We don't have good callbacks like that very often. So, they go back and forth. They go to the locker room, and Gordon lets the team have it.
And this is where we see a quick glimpse of Goldberg. Have you touched upon any of his legal battles as of late?
No, we have not talked about that much. No one's really brought it up. That's why we haven't talked about it. Oh, you can talk about it if you want to. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Sean Weiss, what happened, man?
Oh, my God, seriously.
Oh my God. I remember seeing a picture of him. Maybe it was that reunion shot of him a few years back, you know, looking slim, looking good. And then, like, not too long after that, we see a mugshot. And then, of course, just like last week, we see a brand new mugshot.
Yeah, recently, at time of recording. Like, just throw that out there. Time of recording.
Exactly. There you go. And he looks like my grandpa. I mean, he's my age. He's my age. He looks like he's 80.
Yeah, that popped up on the, for those listening, if you want to go back on the D5 Facebook page, that picture is up there. So I put it up on a D5 Facebook page. And I was like, what happened to you?
Dude,
like,
I mean, seriously, do not do drugs. Don't stay away from any hardcore drugs, kids. Just do it.
It's so funny because you have that picture. And if you go like literally 6 months before that, the Ducks were having a reunion. The healthier Ducks were having a reunion in Anaheim. And then we jump ahead, and he's this way. I'm like, what happened? Like, what did you do?
I mean, hopefully, I don't know. Fame. He was young, I guess. I don't know when he started, but it's sad to see.
I know, like, this is, like, his first big role with these movies. And it's like, but what happened? Like, come on.
I know. He was on a good roll after that in the 90s.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're the first person to bring it up. It's not that I didn't want to talk about it. No one's brought it up. That's all it is.
Well, there you go.
Perfect. Everything has to be addressed.
It does. I mean, it's huge. I feel bad for the guy.
It really is. It was a big deal. It's a big deal to our little universe we're in, you know?
Yeah.
It's almost like recording Clerks Minute right in the middle of Kevin Smith having a heart attack. That happened. Oh, that happened.
Yeah.
We were doing episodes of that show when we're finding out about the heart attack news. Like, that happened to us. So anyway, we he yelled at them. But unlike him in the hallway of the devil, the team actually does fight back a little.
to
their credit. And the point is that they're making a point that Coach Stanton knew everything about us and they were ready. Which I agree. 100%.
Yep.
Yeah, he was too busy at the great sponsor party we saw earlier with all the celebrities, which I still don't understand, that party, and hanging out with the Iceland chick having ice cream. Which, by the way, he was really pissed at them for knowing that information.
I know.
I don't understand why you're so pissed about that. But funny part is, this is not the first time they brought this up. Like, they mentioned this earlier. Like, what?
They hold a grudge, man. They wanted some ice cream. That's all it was.
Well, they were also out. They are out breaking curfew. So he's probably pissed at them for breaking curfew. So they get pissed. And like you said, he said, don't take off your pads. And they hot off to the ice. And that's what you were discussing.
Yep, here comes the Miracle on Ice reference right here, just like what happened back in 1980.
Yeah, 1980 in the, I forgot what country it was in, but it wasn't even a loss. They tied the game. It was a tie game, and he was pissed because they tied the game instead of dominating the game, and he made them do wind sprints.
Oh, boy.
And the movie doesn't even, and as much as how great it is in the movie, it does not do justice
to
how it's explained in the book.
In the book,
it is explained in such detail, and there's a picture in the book of Herbrook standing in pitch black darkness, held up by one spotlight in their building. That's a security light because the janitor turned off the lights, and they won the movie. Yeah. But apparently, that went on for another hour in the real world after that.
Wow!
So
that's interesting.
Yeah. So that's that. So. This happens here, and I would love to know how many hours he kept him here. Like, I'd love to know that part of the story.
Exactly. I was waiting for it to show just like in Miracle. I was waiting for it to show the lights go out and there for forever, but you don't really see it that much.
Yeah, they didn't put that in here. That would have been perfect. That would have been a perfect way to end this. Yep. But again, I don't think they really... I would love to know, and this is something I don't know, if Disney owned the rights to the Miracle yet.
Like, no, they
might
true.
Not have owned the rights to the story yet. Like, I'd love
to
know.
That's a good question. Yeah, that is a good question.
Yeah, because this movie didn't come out for another decade. So it's like...
Yeah, I know. It's a very good question.
You know? Like, I think... I'm not sure where the Olympics... Like, how the Olympics work. Like, how that works. I know, like, the joke... One of the funniest jokes of all time is that Al Michaels was traded to NBC. Like, it was one of the stupidest jokes ever. When the Olympics went over there and they traded him. For, I forgot what they traded him for. I think it was for Oswald the Rabbit.
Oswald. There you go. Yep, Oswald. Yep, which is awesome.
One of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. But that happened. So.
And then they go and do nothing with Oswald. Go figure.
Well, don't they have something at Disneyland?
There's a character walking around at Disneyland every now and then. I've never seen him. I've seen pictures of him. I go there all the time but never seen him. So they do things. They finally released all the shorts on DVD, you know, a handful of years ago, and he showed up in the Epic Mickey 2 or 1. Which one was it?
Whichever one.
One of those video games. So they do something with him, but just not enough.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so that was a thing. So I would love to know when they got the rights to do it. There's got to be some like money behind that because that's an epic story that we never saw a feature length film about until 2005. Like, that's a long time.
It is.
So, all right, we get back to this, and I'd love to know, like, when he told them to do these laps, did he say you didn't have to pose like this until I tell you to go? Because this is an hysterical pose after all in. I don't understand that. Like, at least like in the Miracle story, they're just standing at the line. ready to go again.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now they're posing. They're posing for a team photo for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. It's just funny. I'd love to know those instructions. I want you to stand here and pose after you're done with this.
You want the director's cut. We want the extended director's cut to explain this.
Oh, man. That's funny. So that happens. And they keep running. But Charlie did make a point. It's not fun.
Like he used to be. He used to be fun when he coached for the Ducks.
Yes, it used to be fun. And so, and then we cut to the classroom, and the kids are sleeping. They're all asleep.
Which shows they're probably there pretty late.
Yeah, I'd love to know what time they left. Like how many hours they were there. Like, hang on one second. Okay. Are you okay? I love you. Want to go back down? In your cabinet with a couple of cans.
Thank you.
In the cabinet with a couple of cans. There's also one in the fridge if you want a cold. Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
My son just got home there. Him and my wife were on a program date. He just came up and say hi.
Ah.
So.
Nice.
Anyway, where were they? Oh, yeah. Let me just start my sentence again. So the kids were asleep in class. Which makes me wonder how many hours they were there.
Yeah, no kidding. Probably pretty late.
Yeah, especially for them who had a curfew of like 10 o'clock. And here they are. It's just hysterical watching them. Like, they're too close. They're 2 seconds away from being like Corey and Sean with Sticker and I snoring. They're 2 seconds away from that. Oh. That's a funny joke. That's a Disney joke. It's just too soon for that joke. That joke hasn't happened yet. So, Miss McKay is rightfully pissed. I cannot blame her for being pissed.
Yeah. I mean, because especially if they have a curfew. You know, you probably have them out past the curfew. And I mean, they're kids. You don't have them out late, especially if it's a school night.
Exactly. It is a school night. And she's having a hard time with this anyway, as it is, because they don't want to be there. And you add to the fact that they have to be there, and they're sleeping. Like, I can't blame her for being upset.
Yep.
Now, I do want to know the schedule of this tournament, because if we had the Iceland game, so then we were cutting to we have another game the next day. What is the tournament schedule? Like, even the World Juniors is this confusing.
Every day they have a new game.
Like, it's the World Juniors. They have the World Juniors for... I always bring up the World Juniors and never explain what it is. The World Juniors is a hockey tournament that happens right after Christmas. It's a tradition. I watch it every year. Okay. It's the week after Christmas. It is the international... It's the youth international games. And the reason I watch it is because almost every single player ends up in the draft. So I like watching Peter are going to be in the draft. Okay. I love watching it. And it's always a great tournament. But the tournament always goes a week. And all the first round games happen. It's a round robin format. But it's like, you have a game. The most you have is 2 days in a row. And you have a day off. Like, that's how the schedule works. So I'm wondering, how does this work? Because maybe there is a day off in here. We just don't know what it is. But here we have back-to-back games. Like, I don't know. Now, the question I have, and I can't blame him. How does she have the right to cancel their practice if she's not a coach?
You know, I was watching that, too. That is very odd. I don't quite understand that.
And I don't get it. Like, I'll never get how that works. Like, how does she get the right to do that? She's just their teacher.
I mean, maybe the principal, maybe?
Well,
I don't know.
She's the tutor for them.
Yeah.
She's the only one in charge of them. So
that makes no sense at all.
Typically, it goes like Bombay, her. That's the order it goes in.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how she has the right to get to their practice.
Nope.
But storyline-wise, it makes sense for what we're doing here.
Yep.
I'd love to know, though, when, during this sleepy class thing, did they have the time to call him Captain Blood? Like, what? They have the time to do that.
The whole 20 minutes we didn't even see. Like I said, I want to see the director's cut right there.
Oh, man. I feel like on the episode title, we want to see the director's cut. So they refer to him as Captain Blood, which I'd love to know more details of that.
Like, yeah, seriously.
Like, what are more details of that name? Like, all we saw them doing is wind sprints. Like, where did the name Captain Blood come from?
Was he slashing people with a whip and they're bleeding? You'll never know.
Or are they coughing up blood, much like in Miracle, yeah, because it's a Disney, yeah, and they can't show that? Like, yep. I don't understand this.
That's probably what it was. They're probably copying the Miracle story, and they're probably taking it from that.
Yeah, and they can't show it because it's a kids movie.
Exactly.
So, all right. So she tells them off, pretty much. And they argue. And she reminds them this is just a game. It's supposed to be fun. It seems to be a thing we're doing here.
Yep.
Trend. It's trending here. We're trending. Games are supposed to be fun. And he throws out the line that we're getting ready for war. Wait, what? Wait a second. What are we talking about? I thought we were doing war. What's happening? And bigger things. Huh? What bigger things are we doing? Like, what are we doing?
Man.
They're kids. What are we doing?
Trying to extort them for money, isn't she?
Maybe. Well, he is. She's on the kid's side. He wants them to extort them for money. Hey. Sure, why not? Oh, man. It makes it even funnier knowing the third movie they're in high school. Like, they're kids.
Yeah.
They're literal kids in this movie. So they go back and forth, and we jumped outside. Well, I love this set. I love this set. Being outside for their practice. We're only here for literally a minute.
Yeah.
But I love the fact they have this outdoor, like, track area that we never see again for the rest of the movie.
Nope.
So they're practicing. I like it, personally.
Yeah, and it felt like school.
Yeah, it's a very school moment. Like, they did an outdoor class earlier, so why not have an outdoor practice?
Yep, exactly.
And the valid point is, they're to their credit, as much as they're, like, pissed at about Gordon, they know they're more mature than they were in the first movie. Because they know they have a game. They have to get ready for the game, despite being pissed at their coach.
Yep, that's true.
So they have grown up since the first movie. So, let's see here. They say, Julie is on this team. Women think she'd be used to being called babe. Like, women think she'd be used to that at this point, especially for Portman. You know, let's be honest.
Yep.
So now we meet, finally, officially. I've been waiting for him to officially be in this movie. Russ Tyler, Keaton Thompson. I've been waiting to talk about him.
When I watched this for the first time, not for the first time, but, you know, to prepare for this, I watched it. And like I said, I haven't seen it since the 90s, and I had no idea he was in the movie.
Yeah, and he is all over the place in this movie. He's been popping up. I mean, so I'm like, every time early in the movie, I'm like, I'm waiting for the officially part of the movie.
No, it's pretty great because I love him. It's good to see that his acting hasn't gotten any better. I'm not dissing on the guy. He was good as a kid. You know what I mean? I mean,
that was great.
You know, watch him on Saturday Night Live. He's not the greatest, but he's fun to watch.
So, Keaton Thompson have not talked about his bio, and I keep saying, though, this is his film debut, right here. This movie, I would never believe it if I didn't look it up. Like,
no.
There's no way I'm going to believe that.
I did not even remember even a glimpse of him in this movie when I first watched it, because, you know, I grew up watching, you know, things on Nickelodeon and all.
Right.
Keenan and Kel was fun. I like that. All that was awesome, but I never recognized him for this movie.
He's in this and in D3. He's in both movies, so.
Man, you know, I don't think I've seen the third one ever in my life.
Well, you'll have to come back next season. You'll watch the third one. I'll send it to you. It'll be on Disney Plus by next season, so you'll be able to see it on
there. You go.
It'll be on there by next season. This movie is not on there this season. I'm not getting into that again. Anyway, so Keaton Thompson, quick bio for those who don't know, that are not our age and don't know who he is besides SNL. He was, of course, in all that from 1994 to 2000. That show was on for 6 years. I did not know that show was on so long.
Was it really?
Yes.
I think I stopped like in 98 or something. Of course, I was out of high school at that point, so I
didn't realize
watching.
The show was on for that long. I did not realize
I did not
at all. I know I watched it in the early years, and then I went into high school and stopped watching the show. So,
I was in college in 98. I was in college. So I think it's right when I stopped.
Yeah, my graduation year is 2000. So, like, I didn't watch it in high school. So, So, and then, of course, he is in Keenan and Cal. We mentioned that. That was only a four. Those shows were on at the same time. So.
Yeah.
They both ended at the same time. And then, of course, he's in SNL. He's been here since 2003, which I did not realize.
Isn't he the longest?
I think current
cast. He's the longest cast member, right?
Yep. And he does have an Emmy Award to his name from being on SNL. He won for the lyrics. Original, he was part of the crew that wrote "Come Back, Barack" in 2018
for
outstanding original music and lyrics.
Good for him, man. He's been hustling. He's good at what he does.
Yes. So we have and here he is, finally introduced himself officially to the team as Russ Taylor. And I love the fact. By the way, I've been trying to figure out in the third movie they make it very clear that Charlie is their captain. Very clear in the third movie. In this movie, and in the first movie, Jesse is their captain, but we never mention it. Like, he always steps up to defend his team, like, both movies.
That's interesting.
Like, I don't understand how this works. Like, he's always the one that steps up. He's always the one that gets in people's faces, defends his team to his core. But Charlie's the captain in the third movie. Like, it doesn't make sense. So, Jesse gets in his face, and he goes back and forth, and I do love this conversation. I love the fact that the two of them go at each other. Like, it's so cool. Like, I'm so glad it was the black, I want to say racist when I say this, but I'm so glad it's the two black kids yelling at each other, because it makes it even more like an American argument. Like, this is only an American argument you can have in this country. So, I do love the fact that he calls them a bunch of, what was it, a bunch of whining babies. Wow. That's a line. You just called them that, straight up. No, guy's got balls. He's got some balls. You know?
Yeah. Oh, dude, he's approaching the whole team. I would never think about doing that.
No, and it's on their turf, which makes it even crazier.
Exactly.
Like, there's no, like, how he got here, fine, he walks out, he's on their field, there's security, and on the next minute, get him off the field, like, he has so much balls to do this, and he's been picking on them the entire movie, and he has enough guff to go up to him and say, look, you guys suck, like, wow. So.
I guess it needed to be said.
It did, and they needed to hear it. And we will jump to them. He challenged them to an old school puck game, old school schoolyard puck, and we will talk about that in our next episode. But this is definitely a great way to end. It ended perfectly. It kind of ended perfectly for us in these 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, well, any other thoughts you have on the movie or on these minutes or anything you want to mention in here?
No, I think it's awesome you're doing this, you know, show some light on a movie that doesn't really get talked about, you know, especially the second one. So this is awesome that you're doing this.
Yeah, no, I love these movies. Like, I'm a huge hockey person, and I love these movies. So the fact that I'm here, and I'll be going into the third movie next year. So next week, we will be talking about this good old-fashioned old-school hockey game, and we also have the introduction of the knuckle puck. Next week, and that will have Robert Black on.
Awesome.
And to talk about that, and that's going to be a fun conversation. Tim, why don't you get your plugs in? Go.
All right. Well, I host a podcast called Saturday Morning Rewind. I interview a lot of voice actors and people, mainly actors from the old days, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, because where I grew up. So if you enjoy voice actors or cartoons from those days, check us out. We're everywhere podcasts can be heard. I also dabble in some YouTube videos, so go check me out. If you just type in my name, Tim Nidell, in YouTube, you'll find me. Or just go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. You'll find me. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. You're going to hate me for this, Blake, man. I changed my handle. I know you love my old handle.
Dang.
I know. It used to be at Tim the Toon Man, but I'm trying to reformat my YouTube stuff and not be all about, you know, pop culture and toys and everything. So it's right now that one is only at Tim_Nidell. I went to a simple tag. And my official one for the podcast is at Saturday Rewind.
Fair enough. And I will say this. I don't promote this show that often, but Tim is one of my guests on the first season of Pod on Pod. So you can hear his history getting into Saturday Night Live over on Pod on Pod. So that's a fun one to listen to.
Yeah, you got some stuff out of me I haven't talked about to anybody, really.
Yeah, so there you go. Go listen to Pod on Pod and the Tim Nidell episode. I'll put the link up here so people can hear that. As for this show, Defy the Mighty Ducks, you can hear every single Friday for those who are jumping on. And you can go rate and review the show on all podcast platforms. And you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you can comment on the show and tell us what you're thinking. Talk about this movie. Talk about if you realize Keenan Thompson is in this movie. There's a lot of people coming to this movie who have never seen this movie before, so they didn't realize he was in this. So you're not the only one. So that's that, and you can talk to us there. I'm obviously the co-host of the Blake and Stiles Show every single Friday, and we are having so much fun over there. I've been saying this for a while. I had a New Year's resolution when this year started, and I wanted brand new guests and brand new people come on the show, and we've had a hell of a year so far. So come on over there and listen to us with brand new people that have never been on our show before. All right. That all being said, thank you, Tim, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. And thank you all for listening. I'll see you next week. Have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.